Bibles, would you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 this week, and then next week, and then the following week is our annual business meeting, and the following week we will be out because of the Thanksgiving holiday, and then the final Wednesday of November, I'll speak to you the third in a series of three messages about his sovereign work. We're going to look at verses 3 through 14, but tonight just verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. But I want to set the stage for what's coming tonight and in two nights to come. These verses 3 through 14, are one sentence in the original Greek language, consisting of 202 words in one sentence. The reason it is one sentence, it is because it is one idea. It is the idea that God reached into eternity past and chosen us in Christ Jesus and called us unto himself. That he stopped off along in eternity present and placed us in Christ when we came to know him as a personal Savior. And that he reaches out into eternity yet to come and shows that we're going to be set forth according to his purpose and his plan so that in the fullness of times we will show the glory of God and be conformed to the image of Jesus. 202 words that describe for us our place, our position in Christ Jesus the Lord. I heard about a man who had a very short version of his will. You legal minds here tonight need to take note. He said, being of sound mind and body, I spent it all. Now, your heirs won't appreciate that attitude. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, you can certainly say that about him. Being of sound mind and body, Jesus spent it all. Everything he was and had, he spent on lowly humanity, that he might give himself a ransom, and that in the fullness of time we might be called unto God by the conviction of the Holy Spirit and know Jesus as our personal Savior. Tonight I want to emphasize his sovereign work and speak of his charity, his love toward us in Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestinated us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Let's pray together for a moment. Father, may we dive deep and linger for such a period of time that the jewels of this passage can become known to us who are your children, that we may recognize who you are and who we are in you, and all the blessings we have because we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is in that holy and mighty name that I pray. Amen. I want us to look at six thoughts. We'll move rather quickly through each of them. And we'll begin by recognizing the source of our blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So the question is, who has blessed us? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the scriptures, you find the word blessed are blessings. You find it most often in the Sermon on the Mount that Mike just finished a series on Sunday nights, where in that opening area of the sermon, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are the peacemakers. You find it in the book of Psalms, where David repeatedly talked about being blessed or blessed if you did this or if you were this. The word blessing actually comes from a Greek word where we get our word eulogy. It doesn't quite sound the same, but it's the implication of eulogy, saying something good about somebody. That's what a eulogy is. And a blessing is saying something good about somebody. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You are eulogizing that man. And when we bless God, we are eulogizing God. We are saying something good about Him. And so the implication here is that He is the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus, who has said something good, done something good for all of us in Christ Jesus the Lord. Something good about who God is. How long could you talk about the goodness of God until you fainted and fell away? And when you revived, you could start over and not say the same thing twice. We could talk about the goodness of God from this day until our last day upon the face of this earth and not even scratch the surface of how good our God is. In fact, if you have it tonight and it's worth anything, God gave it to you. If you have it tonight and it's good, it's from the hand of a gracious God who gives perfect gift to His children. And sometimes we don't quite understand the worth and the value of what God has done for us and what God has given to us. But just know this, every good and perfect gift comes down from God. Not only something good about who God is, but it's something good about what God has done. Who can forget that in the midst of the Bible talking about our sinfulness, it interrupts the story and begins to speak about God's faithfulness? The little phrase, "but God," is one of the most wonderful phrases in the book of Ephesians and in the other Pauline epistles. For it says something tragic about us. And while we were yet in sin, and then it says something wonderful and glorious about God, He died for our sins. The source of our blessings is God. And so I would just challenge you, say something good about Him. Because if you have it and it's good, He gave it to you. He's a good, good Father. And then there is something here in this passage about the subject of these blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. We are the subjects of the blessings of God. If you look back to verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. It's the saints. It's the sons of God. It's the saints of God. These are those whom he speaks of as those who have been spiritually blessed in Christ Jesus, saints and faithful ones. And later in the passage, he calls us the chosen ones and the called ones and the ones who have been accepted in the beloved and the ones who have been adopted and the ones who have been redeemed by his blood and the ones who have been forgiven and the ones who have had upon themselves lavished the grace of Almighty God and the ones who, according to his purpose, have been set apart for a plan that he predetermined from the very first of the world. And who is this God? He's God the Father. He's a good God. That's the source of the blessings. But who gets the blessings? The saints, the sons, those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And if you ever are just walking about in your own selfish pity party, call time out and get your Bible and read the first chapter of Ephesians And then the first thing you need to do is say, oh, Father, I am sorry that I have felt sorry for myself because I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am chosen in Christ Jesus. I am adopted into the family of God. I am bound for eternity. I'm blessed beyond measure. And when you get through counting your blessings and naming them one by one, you will know that the subject of the blessings of God are those who have trusted His Son as their personal Savior. There's a third element here. It's the scope of His blessings. Let me say it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. That's the scope. Are you aware of the fact that His blessings know no boundaries and His blessings know no limits? How blessed can a man be beyond measure? How much blessing can God pour out upon one of His children? He can bless us beyond our expectation. Do you remember it simply says we serve a God who can do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we think. Put those words together for a moment. To say that God can do anything is a one subject matter, but to say that God can do abundantly, exceedingly, beyond, above, limitless blessings come from a God who knows no boundaries. He can heal the body. He can cheer up the soul. He can quicken the spirit. He can handle your emotions and your mentalities. He can supply your needs. He can protect your life. He can pardon your sins. He can powerfully lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. No limit. How high can you go? He's higher. How low can you go? He can be lower. How far can you reach? He can reach further. His hand has no limit. The long arm of the Lord reaches us in desperate places. He brings us up out of a horrible pit, sets us on a solid rock, and establishes our goings. The scope of His blessing. Its blessing is boundless, limitless, and includes all the spiritual wealth of heaven. Now, I want to challenge you tonight. Before you give up on God, take you a pencil and a piece of paper and write down all of the blessings of heaven that you can think about. And then recognize you've only scratched the surface for the half. You listening? Has not yet been told. If you could remember what you know, everything you've ever learned, and write it down, you'd still only have 50% of all the things that God has prepared for those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There is no boundary. There are no limits, and His blessings include every spiritual blessing, all of the wealth of heaven. He's the only one in all the universe who can spend it all and still have it all, who can give it all and not give up anything. He can share His glory with you and still be glorious. He can share His might with you and still be mighty. He can share His power with you and still be all-powerful. He can be anywhere. He can do anything. And He can and does bless His people who know that about Him. He is the scope of all of our blessings. The passage also says something about the sort, S-O-R-T, the sort of these blessings. There's a Greek word used here, pneumatikos. And here's what it said. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Now, He's described two places where our blessings come from. So is that a contradiction? Do they come from Christ? Or do they come from heavenly places? Well, what if I told you Christ abides in heavenly places? It comes from the pocket of God, who is in the presence of Christ, who gives to us unequaled, limitless, boundless blessings. And when you use that Greek word, here's what it really means. Out of what could be given, He gives it all. Now, I just wrestled with this illustration. It's not a great one, but if you'll think for a moment, you'll get what I'm talking about. Let's just say we have an 18-wheeler on the lot, a tractor trailer, and we're going to deliver to your house tomorrow couches, large sitting places, couches. We might could get 15 or 20 on that truck and trailer, and there would be a worth to that. If a couch cost $1,000 and we could get 20, I suppose that we'd be bringing $20,000 worth of couches to you. But what if we filled that truck up with the most pristine and beautiful diamonds this world had ever imagined? What if from the top to the bottom, from the front to the back, it was filled with diamonds? Would it be worth $20,000? It would be worth $20,000 times $20,000. Because what it meant was every space in that trailer was filled with the most valuable, worthwhile commodity known to man. So good people give good things. People can be a blessing to you. You can work hard and get good things. You can do good for yourself. But when God decides to give something, He says, everything possible for me to give, I give in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Every inch of that trailer is packed with the most valuable thing you could put on that trailer. When God delivers a load to you, it is packed with the most worthwhile, worthy, valuable things God can give. Forgiveness, redemption, the peace of God, the love of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no measure to that. And that's the sort of blessings that God can deliver to us. All that the Spirit of God can deliver, He does so. Now, let me tell you two things about that. We don't understand that, so we don't appreciate it like we ought to. We sometimes look at God and say, why didn't you give me more? But ladies and gentlemen, He's already given you every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. So that when you come and you say, well, if that's the case, why don't I have love? Here's why you don't have love. God is love. And the more of God you have, the more love you have. And somebody says, why don't I have peace? He said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. It's yours for the asking. Why don't I have power? You can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. What about all my needs? My God shall supply, not might supply, not could supply. My God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. What I'm saying is the truck has already arrived. And if you haven't opened it up and enjoyed the load that Christ gives you in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, you're missing the beauty of being a believer. Everything you need is caught up in the sufficiency of Christ to meet all your needs anytime and every time. That's the sort of the blessings. Well, I'm going to repeat a phrase when I talk about number five, the storehouse of these blessings. They are in Christ and they are in heavenly places. If you're wealthy enough, and I don't know that it takes a tremendous amount of wealth, you might have a summer home and a winter home. And we hear about this all the time. Wintertime, people go south where it's warm. In the summertime, people go north where it's a little bit cooler. If you visited the Holy Land with me, you'd know that that's not a new custom in America by any stretch of the imagination. All the way back to the days of Herod, down at Masada, Herod built a home on top of the hill with such architectural procedure that the way the wind blew, it would catch into the hall-like apparatuses that were built, and any room would feel like a fan was on at any given point in time, even on the hottest day. Men have learned to do that through the years, a winter home and a summer home, almost citizens of two places at the same time, abiding here so that that need can be met, and abiding here so that that need can be met. Well, back that up for just a moment and let me tell you who you are. You've got two homes. You may not realize that, but you're both a citizen of this country and a citizen of that country which is yet to come. You have dual citizenship. You can call yourself an American, and you are if you were born and raised in America or if you have been adopted by America. But this is temporary, you understand. Americans can only be Americans as long as they're alive here on this earth. But I shall be a Christian forever and forever and forever. And I'll stop if you'll keep supplying the forevers, because forever never ends. I'll always be a child of the living God. I have two homes, this world for a while, and the world yet to come forever and forever and forever. This dual citizenship is the storehouse of where my blessings are. Now, I'm about to say the most important thing I am going to say tonight, and I remind you of that because you might not recognize it if I didn't tell you. Okay? You got both ears on? In this world, when you pile up your treasures, new house, new car, new job, bigger bank account, more clothes in the closet, whatever it is. In this world, when you make this your treasure house, every moment that goes by, you are moving farther and farther away from your treasure. When you send your treasures ahead of you, when you lay up treasure in heaven, every moment that goes by, you are drawing nearer and nearer and nearer to your treasures. Now, if that makes sense to you tonight, then what doesn't make sense is spending it all on a world that is passing away and not putting some forward in a world that will last forever. What kind of treasure can I send on ahead of me? Every time you praise God, it's recorded. Every time you share Jesus, it's recorded. Every time you put a coat on a cold man, a drink of water with a thirsty man, feed a hungry man. When you do anything with the right heart, the right motive, in the name of Christ, it's sent on ahead. It is a treasure laid up in your other home. And just don't forget that tonight. When you walk out of here and you say, wonder what that message was about. Here it is. All you pile up down here, tomorrow you'll be one day further away from holding on to it than you are today. And the next week you'll be a week further from holding on to it than you are right now. And all what you send up there, you get closer to it every day in every way. And some of us tonight have a whole lot more there than we do here. And it won't be long before we come into our wealth when the Father reads the will and looks at every one of His children and says, if you like what you see, it's yours. Every bit of it, every step you take, every breath you breathe, everything you touch, in Christ, in heavenly places, I have loved you so much that I am the storehouse of all the blessings that you have. And then I'll just close with this sixth one. What is the state of these blessings? And you can't miss this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ. For anyone here tonight who does not know Christ as the Lord of your life, everything I have mentioned that is good for you is not good. Everything I have mentioned that is a blessing for you is not a blessing. Everything that I have mentioned that is waiting on God's child is not waiting on you. Everything that is stored up in heaven for those who are called the elect, for those who are called the faithful, for those who are called the saints, for those who have received all the things mentioned in those verses I've read, everything that the believer has in store for him, the unbeliever forfeits by not trusting in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. What's the key to the door? Christ. What's the answer to the question? Christ. What's the way into the presence of the Father? Christ. What's the way to have all spiritual blessings? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. 202 words from verses 3 through 14. All of them with one thought in mind, that God is such an awesome God that He reached into eternity past and brought us unto Himself, that He stands in eternity present and forgives our sin and blesses us in Christ Jesus the Lord, and that He promises for eternity future that the half has not yet been told, that all the spiritual blessings that we have and that we enjoy in the here and now are but a small portion of what's waiting on us when we go home to be with Jesus. That's His sovereign work. He loves us. Oh, how He loves you and me. Enough that we're blessed. That when God says a eulogy over us, it's bountiful. It's limitless. It's awesome. It's enough. Let's stand together. If Mike and I can help you in any way, we'll be here in the altar, just a verse or two played, and the service will close. So if you need to trust in Christ and you want somebody to pray with you, if you need to become a part of our church family, if you need to come and profess Christ as your Savior publicly, if you just want to come full of thanksgiving for the blessings that we have as God's child, anything we can do, we would be glad to do that.